Beloved brothers and sisters, in Job chapters 38 through 41, God awakened Job through wondrous words, natural phenomena, and illustrations from various creatures, such as the mountain goat, wild donkey, wild ox, ostrich, horse, eagle, behemoth, and leviathan, that no human wisdom can match. Through this, God led Job to recognize his sins and evil, know who he is, and feel his power, wisdom, and amazing love. At last, Job came to realize his pride and ignorance, humbling himself before God in a heartfelt repentance. As we look at Job's repentance and confession of faith today, may each of you also humbly examine yourselves before God and begin a true transformation in life. And like Job, may you encounter not only the God of fear, but the God of love and develop a deeper and more intimate relationship with Him day after day. Now let us take a closer look at Job's confessions of repentance before God. Chapter 42, verses 1 and 2 say, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted." Here, the phrase, "can do all things," refers to God's omnipotence, His power to do anything without limitation. Brothers and sisters, the God we believe in and serve is the Almighty and All-Powerful God. The Bible contains many passages describing God's omnipotence. Let us consider just a few of them. Psalm chapter 47, 13 through 17. "You divided the sea by your strength. You broke the hands of the sea monsters in the waters. You crushed the hands of Leviathan. You gave him as food for the creatures of the wilderness. You broke open springs and torrents. You dried up ever-flowing streams. Yours is the day. Yours also is the night. You have prepared the light and the sun. You have established all the boundaries of the earth. You have made summer and winter." This passage praises God's power in creating the sun, moon, the stars, the continents, the oceans, as well as His sovereignty over the four seasons. Psalm chapter 77, verses 14 through 20 also declares, "You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your strength among the peoples. You have by your power redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw you, O God, the waters saw you. They were in anguish. The deeps also trembled. The clouds poured out water. The skies gave forth a sound. Your arrows flashed here and there. The sound of your thunder was in the whirlwind. The lightnings lit up the world. The world trembled and shook. Your way was in the sea and your paths in the mighty waters. And your footprints may not be known. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron." This speaks of God's mighty and wondrous power in accomplishing the Exodus, something totally impossible by human thoughts. Think especially of the miracle of the Red Sea. When Moses obeyed God's command, lifted his staff, and stretched out his hand over the sea, the vast waters were divided. The waters were divided. God sent the east wind overnight and separated the waters. After the waters were separated, people crossed, and the wind kept preventing waters. And people may think, when Moses stretched out, the waters divided. But we know the detailed process. The east wind blew overnight, and the waters were separated. But actually, if we go deeper into the incident, our shepherd also revealed the deeper facts behind this. The way was made with the separated waters, the ground was revealed, and in their size, there were walls, the water walls at their size. That means the wind kept flowing. That's why the waters did not meet back together. Because there was strong wind, the waters were separated. And how could people cross? They have been blown off. When there's like a typhoon or a hurricane, even houses are blown away. Even cars are blown away. You know that. The wind, you have seen those, watched those things. It could also happen to them. But how could these people cross the, between the separated waters? You may have a question about that. If you read the Bible with human knowledge, you may have such questions. That's why our shepherd received an answer from God. God clothed the space with the spiritual space. So, even while the way was made, the people crossed it, they walked through it safely. This was the spiritual space. And Elijah ran faster than the king's chariot. Because spiritual space was opened, Elijah ran faster than the king's chariot. Such incidents are recorded in the Bible. You may think of it as nothing, but you know, the shepherd prayed and meditated on it and had questions, and he because he had such longing, yearning. Many people, even while they read about the works of God in the Bible, they don't long for it to happen in their lives. But because those shepherds long for such works, he wanted to delve into the incident, delve into how really God worked for them. How could such a phenomenon happen? He meditated in prayer and he received answer from God. You may pray, Father God, I want the works of the Red Sea in our lives. And because we have heard such revelation, we can pray more detail and bring down God's power. God does such miraculous things, extraordinary things. Through prayer, through obedience, we can experience God's almightiness and we can make God's work in our lives. Though impossible to comprehend by human knowledge or reasoning, this was the very demonstration of God's omnipotence. In addition, God sent manna from heaven, brought down the walls of Jericho, stopped the movement of the sun and the moon, sent rain after a long drought, displaying countless signs and wonders. God demonstrates His power not just in such great and mighty works, but in the smallest and most minute matters. For example, He numbers the very hairs of our head and knows even the depths of our hearts as He works for us. From Luke chapter 5, verse 18 onward, we see that four men tried to bring their friend who was paralyzed to Jesus. But the paralytic, they wanted to bring him to Jesus, but there was a huge crowd around Jesus. That's why they would not go near him. Jesus was in the house, and people were just packing the house. That's why the friends could not bring him in. And the four friends removed the tiles of the roof and lowered him on his stretcher right in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "Friend, your sins are forgiven you." But the scribes and the Pharisees began reasoning, saying, "Who is this man who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus recognized their thoughts. He knew their thoughts. He knew what was going through their mind. He knew what they were gossiping about him. Even though physically, Jesus knew even the thoughts, minds in their, knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, "Where are you? Why are you reasoning in your hearts?" Which is easier, to say, "Your sins have forgiven you," or to say, "Get up and walk"? As we can see, God knows both great and small matters, makes a way when needed, and fulfills His providence and purpose. Sometimes we sometimes don't know even our hearts and mind. We may have greed, we may have selfish desire, and we sometimes even though they see God's blessings, but in their heart they have selfish desire and greed. But Father God knows the depths of our hearts. He knows what goes through our mind. Even though we may deny that we have greed, but when we have sins and evil in our hearts, God calls us evil and He cannot bless us, answers us. And our words, actions, we may forget our words and actions so easily. Even after we judge, we don't know we judged. Even after we condemn, we don't remember that we condemn. After a few years, we don't remember what kind of evil thoughts we had. We have to humbly repent. As we have such an attitude, Father God reminds us of what we have forgotten. This is the work of the Holy Spirit and God. When we speak something in our ignorance, we know that what kind of words blocked God's answers. If we cannot repent, we cannot receive His answers. But if we have a humble attitude, repenting attitude, the Holy Spirit reminds us of our childhood, so that we can repent thoroughly. This is God's power and God's work. God wants us to and through such works, He gives His children strength, hope, and courage. Job also came to realize such omniscience and omnipotence of God. So he confessed in today's passage, "I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted." In other words, I have come to understand that God can do anything and that all His plans will surely be fulfilled. From the bottom of his heart, he was acknowledging that indeed there is nothing that God cannot do, something he had heard before. This faith of Job was entirely different from the faith he once had. Before, he had only heard about God through the words of his ancestors, but since he had never personally met God, his faith was not genuine. It was merely a faith of knowledge. So when great suffering came upon him, he was overwhelmed with pain, cursed the day of his birth, and even resented and opposed God. To quote just two passages, in 7 verses 11 and 12, he said, "Therefore I will not restrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. Am I the sea or the sea monster that you set a guard over me?" Speaking to God as if to argue and complain. He also misunderstood and resented God in 10 verse 3. "Is it right for you indeed to oppress, to reject the work of your hands, and to look favorably on the plan of the wicked?" But at last, when Job came face to face with God and heard His wise words, he truly came to understand God's power and righteousness, as well as His love and providence over all creation. He also came to realize why God had allowed such great trials in his life. And so now, Job made a confession of faith filled with confidence. Indeed, God is truly omnipotent. In our Christian life, just knowing and experiencing, gaining through our experience is great difference. The depth of love, the depth. If we try to understand love, we have to deal with someone who hates us. If we deal with a person who does evil to us, if we embrace them with love, our Lord suffered death because of sinners. Even though we know that by knowledge, without experience, we cannot really know what His love is. But let's say someone harbors envy against you, harbors jealous against you. When you meet such a situation, you feel harassed, you feel troubled, you feel distressed, you feel uncomfortable, and you may also harbor resentment. It can also develop into hatred. If someone bothers you and you don't want to deal with him, you want to avoid meeting him, and you feel sad, and then you realize how great our Jesus' love is. Because of people who live in sin, and Jesus interceded for them, we know how great love is. His love is. That's why experience is so important. So that's why some people call Christianity a faith of experience. You may say, I don't hate someone. Without experience, so that's why we need trials. In the following verse, in 42 verse 3, Job said, "Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have declared that which I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know." The first words God spoke to Job as he appeared to him out of the whirlwind was, 38 verse 2, "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge?" So Job answered this question by saying, "It was I who darkened God's purpose with words without knowledge." To darken counsel by words without knowledge means to block what is clear with confused and misguided words. Namely, he admitted that he distorted God's providence through ignorant words of emotion, criticism, complaint, and lament, instead of seeking God's will with right words. He also honestly confessed before God that he had spoken of things he himself did not understand and had pretended to know matters that were beyond his ability to comprehend. Job lamented over his situation, and he talked about Sheol, talked about the lower grave a lot. He didn't know about these places well, but he pretended to know things well. As he argued with his friends, he said that, so he was very ignorant, so he was at fault. He was repenting. He also darkened counsel. He said things like, God hates the good people and shed his light on the evil. he misunderstood God. He lamented before God how ignorant he was. Brothers and sisters, we must not act in ignorance that contradicts counsel before God. Such words and actions cloud God's will and can ultimately bring a curse upon ourselves. In Acts chapter 8, we see that when Philip preached Jesus Christ in the city of Samaria and performed signs, many people believed and followed him. Among them was a magician named Simon, who also heard Philip's message, believed, and was baptized. Later, however, when Simon saw Peter and John laying their hands on people and let them receive the Holy Spirit, he offered them money, saying, "Give this authority to me as well, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter sternly rebuked him, saying, "May your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money." The Holy Spirit is a grace and gift that God gives freely. How ignorant and irrelevant it was before God for Simon to think that such a gift could be bought with money. Since spiritual ignorance darkens the truth and can ultimately bring a harm upon us, we must know the truth lightly. Now then, some people think that they know much. So the Simon also wanted to buy the gift of the Holy Spirit. He wanted to boast of himself. He wanted to earn more money. That's because he had such greed. He acted that way. He didn't know the prince. Because he had greed in his heart, he spoke such ignorant words and he faced a curse. We have to know how we have spoken ignorant words in our faith, in our church, and in our relationship with others. We have to know how much we have judged and condemned others. And we may have also built a wall of sin because of that. Now then, let us look at a few examples showing with what kind of ignorant words Job spoke and darkened God's counsel. In chapter 10, verses 18 and 19, Job resented God, saying, "Why then have you brought me out of the womb? Would that I have died, and no eye had seen me. I should have been as though I had not seen, carried from womb to womb." Here, Job is complaining, asking why God allowed him to be born into the world. He meant that if he had never been born, he would not have to suffer as he did now. This was shifting the blame for his suffering onto God. But even among Christians, they say things similar to this. When they are in distress, they say things like, "Because God created me, I am suffering like this," and they put the blame on God. And when they are happy, they appreciate God. They thank God. How stupid this is. They change their words. They say things like, "God created a hell." God created heaven for us. He wants to be cultivated well. And in order to get true children, He is leading us. When people feel His love, they give thanks. But when they are in hardship, they again begin to complain. Chapter 12, verse 4 also reads, "I am a joke to my friends, the one who called on God, and he answered him, the just and blameless man is a joke." These words carry his resentment as if God himself had made Job a laughing stock. Even today, there are many who attribute failure to God but claim success as their own achievement. Yet, our mommy members should never say such a thing. Let's say you suffer a disease, suffer a disaster, and you may think you are leading a good Christian life, and you, when you meet a disaster, it's not that God is harassing you, because you don't live by the truth. You are suffering this because you didn't. You have to acknowledge, admit yourself. You shouldn't think that God gave you such trouble. God didn't allow this to happen. Blessings belongs to God. I mean, those who love God from the heart and know His love never act that way. Even in suffering, they believe in God's goodwill and give thanks. And when they succeed, they give all glory to God. David did so. He didn't complain. He didn't complain like, God, why are you giving me such trial even after I repent? Even after he repented, after some time, he went through trials and suffered shame because of Absalom. And he knew that he was receiving retribution for the sin he committed in the past. He even, when an evil person spoke a cursed word against him, even though with his officials tried to kill him, David deterred them from killing that person, and he committed all things to God, and he tried to think everything in good ways. That's how he became perfect through trials, and he was used more greatly. But some people put the blame on God for the troubles they are facing. They have to examine whether they have been like Job. In 16 verses 7 and 8, Job mentioned, "But now he has exhausted me. You have laid waste all my company. You have shriveled me up. It has become a witness, and my lineage rises up against me. It testifies to my face." Here again, he asserted that all his suffering was caused by God. He spoke as if God had withered him and that this was the proof that God had condemned him. Job was ignorant about God and did not understand at all that God was disciplining him to grant him greater blessings. That's why such words came out of his mouth without hesitation. If Job had realized this, his initial confession, "The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord," wouldn't have changed to the end. Yet, though it was late, Job finally came to realize his ignorance and confessed, "I spoke carelessly without understanding, and I acted as if I knew things I did not comprehend." This confession was an expression of true repentance through which Job humbly lowered himself before God. In the same way, we too must examine ourselves, whether our thoughts truly align with the truth, whether we have distorted God's will with ignorant words, and whether we can bear responsibility for our words before God. When you are not truthful yourself, even if someone speaks the truth, you will distort it, because you hear it according to your own heart and thoughts. You may take even another person's truth as falsehood and condemn him. This happens far too often. But if we become truthful through the Word of God, we can accept another person's truth as is. We can also discern untruthful words in light of the truth. It's because the truthfulness in our hearts enables this discernment, and the Holy Spirit works in various ways. Also, there is something here that we must deeply realize spiritually. People often speak and debate as if they fully understand something, when in reality they do not. For example, while they don't really know what God's will is, what forgiveness and love mean, or what God's strength and power are. They talk and argue as if they knew them all. However, true knowing, true understanding, is not merely knowing something in the mind, but it is discerning its meaning rightly and practicing it. In other words, only when these follow does our understanding become genuine. For example, Psalm chapter 62 verse 11 says, "Power belongs to God, and we know that it can only be manifested when God grants it." We also know how to receive it from God and perform it. Yet, if we do not walk in that way, if we do not pursue holiness, pray fervently, let go of ourselves, and live for the souls and the glory of God, then we cannot receive power. Nor can we understand God's deep love and will embedded in it. It's about everything. Love, power, goodness. Sometimes some people try to attack you, try to bother others like a goat. Some people may wonder, why doesn't the church deal with that person? It could develop into resentment, develop into judgment. And some people may, but God puts the sheep before the goats. Sheep can change themselves through goats. This is how it works. And if you are really a sheep, you have to change yourselves. But if you just condemn others to be a goat, you yourself is a goat as well. You have to admit this fact. You have to know what goodness is, so you can discern between good and evil, and you can debate about, you can argue about goodness. But without doing this, you just evaluate and criticize others. And Job evaluated God, evaluated his friends, evaluated his situation. But now he acknowledges that he was ignorant, he was arrogant. Jesus repeatedly said, "Do not judge, do not condemn, do not grumble, and do not look at the speck in your brother's eye." Yet, even while knowing these words well, how often do we misunderstand, judge, and condemn when something doesn't align with our own thoughts and feelings? How often do we make conclusions based solely on what we have heard from a third party without directly confirming the other person's words or actions? Moreover, if we know the word and even teach it, but do not practice it ourselves, we must deeply realize that this is evil and the behavior of the one who is ignorant of counsel. Then how can we prevent ourselves from becoming such an ignorant person? We must meditate on the Word and pray in the Holy Spirit and gain the wisdom to discern the will of God. Wisdom from above is pure, peaceful, impartial, and without hypocrisy. Therefore, it does not judge or condemn others carelessly, but handles everything in God's loving grace. That way, we will not darken God's counsel, but wisely fulfill His will. In the following verse, we see that Job's attitude toward God had completely changed. In chapter 42, verse 4, he said, "Hear now, and I will speak, and I will ask you, and you instruct me." In the past, Job had poured out evil words against God without restraint. Now, we see Job speaking respectfully to God and waiting for His answer. As Job heard God's words directly and came to truly understand who He is, he bowed his head before God's power, majesty, and glory and showed an attitude humbly asking with reverent fear and respect. Brothers and sisters, I hope you will apply these words. Job spoke not only to your faith, but to your everyday life. words and actions that respect others are shown when we seek to align with their heart and will, not when we conform to our own thoughts and feelings. For example, when visiting someone's home, no matter how close you may be to that family, it is impolite to use their belongings without permission. Just because we are close to someone, if we disregard their will and act rudely, it will inevitably make them feel uncomfortable. So there's a saying, the closer you are, the more you must keep proper manners. Therefore, we should not speak or act as we please, but respectfully ask the other person's opinion and honor their will. Job has such an attitude towards God, and also talked about the if you just say this and that to others, this is like a command. This is like a... But before that, you have to ask another person's opinion. Even though you are close to that person, even between spouses or between parents and children, you should make it a habit to ask about the other's will and preferences. If we do not arbitrarily assume what the other person wants, but instead ask about their will, they will feel respected and say what they want exactly. This is genuine service and love. Especially those with church duties are all the more advised to set an example this way. We should not say whatever comes to mind or whatever we feel like saying. We have to be careful and ask ourselves. And Jesus even knew the minds and thoughts of the evil people. God also knows our hearts and mind. Our thoughts, God knows it. We have to think about what God will be thinking if He sees our thoughts. We have to carefully look back on ourselves. Control my words. Also, if we think about our Lord and Father God. But if think about how you would act before someone who you respect, you have to act and say like someone respected sitting before you. You have to careful with your words and thoughts. So you have to be careful and control. So I hope you control yourself well. If we speak and act with mutual respect, there will be no misunderstandings, hurt feelings, and breaking of peace. In the church, or in your parish, or in your mission groups, in your among the volunteers, there should be no breaking of peace. If you breaking of peace and doing many things, you know, but doing less things and keeping peace is better. You have to reflect, examine yourself. And this is the... When you have hardships, if you have feel troubled, if you... You have to know what God expects to do. Furthermore, if we complain and grumble without truly knowing God's plan and providence, or without understanding His word, this is far from honoring and revealing God, and it is a great sin. Before Job repented, in his impatience, he lacked self-control and poured out disrespectful words towards God. Instead of humbly asking and waiting for His answer, he spoke and judged according to his emotions. During the trials, people do that because they feel hurt, because they feel distressed. They just speak according to their emotions. But you have to keep this in mind that, especially during the trials, you have to control your heart and words. Otherwise, your trials will be prolonged. Your trials and tests will be intensified, prolonged. You have to understand that. And during the trials, you have to keep your mouth shut, even though you have to hold back your words. You have to always think about the then your trials will be over quickly, and you can realize what God wants to. But if you impatiently say this and that, you know, Job said a lot of words towards God. He just poured out words against God. But Christians, I mean, Job was also poured out, I mean, us, we also pour our words against our friends or people around us. We just speak according to our emotions and we just express our hard feelings, ill feelings. But these things, we have to later all repent of them. So if you are wise, you have to keep and watch over your words. Even when we are peaceful, even when there's no trials, you have to also check whether you make a lot of mistakes with your words. If we say a lot of words, we make mistakes. So according But after meeting God through his trials, he was changed into someone who inquired respectfully and waited for God's answer. If we also properly take these words as our spiritual nourishment, we won't be discourteous in our words and actions. We will be beautiful in God's sight, put to death the deeds of the flesh, and glorify him. Job then continued, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Here, my eyes see you does not mean that God does not mean that God's form literally appeared before him, but that he was engaging with God in spiritual communion. As a man of upright and blameless character, Job just believed the words about God as he heard them from his ancestors. He served God, offering sacrifices from time to time. In other words, he served the God he had heard about. However, since he had no definite experience of feeding God, when hardships came and he faced disadvantages, he ended up distrusting and even opposing the very God he had served. But now, as he was personally meeting and experiencing God, he made a sincere confession coming from the depths of his heart. Brothers and sisters, many of you may have gone through a similar process. At first, we may hear about God through an evangelist, a broadcast, or printed materials. But at that stage, the word is still just knowledge. It has not yet come to us as the word of life or the word of power. So, even if we confess, I believe too, I know too, it's merely a knowledge-based faith. Of course, there are some whose hearts are so good that simply by hearing the word, they immediately put it into practice. But mostly, people grow their faith by experiencing God through some occasions, such as being healed of illness or having life's problems resolved. Especially when we come to understand the providence of salvation through Jesus Christ and have a definite experience of our hearts being heated up by the Holy Spirit, then we can confess like Job, I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. At first, the word may not feel particularly special, but when God's grace comes upon us, it begins to taste as sweet as honey. As we spiritually understand the word of truth, we meet the Lord who is the way, the truth, and the life. This does not mean literally seeing the Lord's form, but seeing, hearing, and speaking in spiritual ways. From that moment, our life of faith undergoes many changes. One who once offered only formal worship begins to worship in spirit and in truth. He humbly asks God in times of trouble, serves his pastors, and lives in pursuit of God's will. This is the life of a person who has been made a new creation by God's grace. Therefore, we must long for the experience of meeting God. We must commune with him in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, hear his voice, and receive his guidance. When this happens, just as Job's life was drastically changed after experiencing God's firsthand, there will be also be great change in your life. you will begin to live a life that proclaims and testifies about God, gives glory to Him, and pleases and honors Him. Before undergoing refinement, Job offered sacrifices for his upright living, and he served God only with a knowledge-based faith. Because he was upright and blameless in heart, he obeyed what he had heard and knew. Yet he was not able to manifest God, bring Him joy, or give glory to Him. But after he was changed through trials, Job became a true child of God who walked according to His will. The trials he went through brought transformation to his entire faith life, becoming an indescribably great blessing. There are people who come to church to experience God, and they, in this church, we have many people who have experienced God so that they have came to have faith. When they come to church, they come here after hearing about the testimonies, so they want to be, they want to receive healing and receive life's problems solved. They came here to meet God, but God reached out to you, healed you, answered you. And some people, they may have 10 problems, and they may have 5 of them resolved. So they confess like Job, "I have met God, I have experienced Him." But many Christians or believers, but there are also people who don't grow their faith because they just came to church to receive healing, to receive financial blessing, to receive life problems resolution. And once their problems are resolved, they, even though they attend church, but they are stagnant spiritually. So they cannot receive receiving blessings like... So after Job... After Job circumcised his heart, came into the spirit, and glorified God. Actually, after meeting and experiencing God may be easy, but many Christians only know God as knowledge. Many Christians do that. But you, at this church, after you came to the church, you met the living God, you met the God of healing and answers and resolution of problems, then you have to live a changed life. It's not that you come here grudgingly by your guide, but in the past you may have troubles, but you, nowadays, even new believers, those who haven't registered, and once you, let's say you have 5 of your 10 your problems, and you want to, and you pay the tithes, pay the thanksgiving, and keep the Sabbath, and you increase the amount of your prayer, and you can pray for 2 hours, and you can also participate in the Bible reading campaign as you positively live a life that pleases God. You can form an intimate and closer relationship with God. God has already met you and answered you. God reached out to you through answers and healing and blessings. So you have to, once you, it's not me who healed you, but God. I'm just a servant of God used as an instrument, and God has manifested Himself through such works. So you have to hold on to Him, and you have to do what pleases Him, and you have to figure out what pleases Him. Once you figure them out, you have to obey, and then all of your rest of your problems will be resolved. And as you see in the book of Job, you can receive also tremendous blessings. The purpose of your coming to church is the you come to church for healing and answers. And once you meet Him, you have to fervently love God, and you have to long to be saved. Then God can resolve everything, and He meets you. In the following verse, 42 chapter, verse 6, Job said, "Therefore I retract and I repent in dust and ashes." In ancient Near Eastern culture, when people repented and sought forgiveness, they would tear their clothes, put ashes on their heads, etc. This was an expression of their heartfelt repentance. In ancient Korea, when they repented before the king, they have their own, each culture has their own custom of showing repentance, and in the Near Eastern culture, this was an expression of heartfelt repentance. For example, when the people of Nineveh heard Jonah's warning of God's judgment, the king put on sackcloth and sat in ashes, as recorded in Scripture. Therefore, when Job repented in dust and ashes, it was not merely saying with his lips, "God, I was wrong," but a bitter, heart-wrenching repentance. He was utterly ashamed and guilty for the words and actions with which he had once complained against and opposed God. He was utterly ashamed and guilty for the words and actions with which he had once complained against and opposed God, and thus he bitterly reflected on himself and humbly repented before God. Brothers and sisters, please examine whether you have spoken or acted according to your own thoughts in spiritual ignorance, and thus sinned before God. If you've built a wall of sin because of that, be wise, humbly repent, and seek His forgiveness. Let me conclude the message, brothers and sisters. Today, we looked at the scene where Job offered a confession of true repentance before God. After Job met and experienced God, whom he had known only through knowledge, he completely humbled himself and bowed down before God's omnipotence and greatness. Through the encounter with God, Job's knowledge-based faith was transformed into true spiritual faith. The more deeply we come to know God's Word and the more our faith grows, the more we cannot help but humble ourselves before His omnipotence, majesty, and love. Even though we try to understand others, even though people compliment us as good, we still have shortcomings before God's goodness. This is true humbleness. This is truly knowing yourself and truly knowing God. Just as Job confessed himself to be ignorant and repented, we too must break down our pride and ignorance and humbly submit to God's will. Therefore, may you take the rebukes that Job had received from God as words spoken directly to you, thoroughly examine yourself and repent and come forth as a fruit of complete transformation. I pray in the name of the Lord that the restoration and blessings God granted to Job will also come upon your life the same way. Hallelujah, our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu, go away. May you protect them from all diseases, heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease,
dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pain go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerate. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to your glory, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.